Last week we talked about the hidden treasure. We talked about how that hidden treasure was the nation of Israel. We talked about how it is God's treasure according to the Old Testament, and how it is hidden, and how a hidden treasure is taken out of use. Whenever somebody would hide their treasure, they didn't have banks back in those days. And so when somebody took their treasure and they hid it in their field, it was no longer being used. It was no longer being put in the economy. And so when we look at the nation of Israel, Jesus came 2,000 years ago. He noticed the nation of Israel and spoke to them very bluntly about some of the things and some of his promises and his love towards them, and said that he would love like a mother hen who takes her chicks under her wings to take Jerusalem under his wings, but they would not. And so he left them. He reburied them, and that's what the story says. It's rehidden. So he hid the treasure. And one day he's coming back, and according to the book of Revelation, there is this paper that has all of these seals on it. And after each seal is removed from that paper, the devil does something new to try to destroy the world. And so these seven seals are on the title deed to the earth. And when the title deed is reclaimed, Israel will be reclaimed. And Jesus will set up his throne in Jerusalem, which is in Israel. And so he's going to reclaim his treasure. He's going to come back for that treasure. And we talked about how God wants us to keep our eyes on the nation of Israel. Israel was not a nation again until 1948. And if you would have said to somebody back in 1930 or 1920 that a huge battle was going to be fought over Israel, they would have told you you were nuts. But as time progressed and oil was discovered in the Middle East, and the nation of Israel became a hotbed of all of that, now you can see why there could actually be a third world war that would be based in the Valley of Megiddo in Israel. We call that the Battle of Armageddon. And so God holds the nation of Israel as a treasure, and it is a hidden treasure. Today we're going to look, though, not at the nation of Israel, but at the church. And some people get those two confused. They think the church is the modern-day nation of Israel. That's not true. We are the church. They are the nation of Israel. Both are saved the same way. The person who bought that hidden treasure gave all that he had. That's Jesus. The person who buys this pearl of great price that we're going to look at today, he gives all that he has. That's Jesus. So let's look at our text in Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking godly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you help us to have open hearts and open minds to what you may tell us this morning. And Father, I pray that you will help us to apply this message to ourselves. Help us to understand what each of us should get out of this. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to each person in this room this morning. And Father, I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a pearl begins as nothing more than a tiny grain of sand that gets caught inside of an oyster. That's all it is. A tiny grain of sand inside the shell of an oyster. But the oyster surrounds that grain of sand with a crystalline covering, which over the years hardens and becomes precious and valuable. And those who study such things say that the most beautiful pearls take up to 7 years to create, to form. During that 7 year period, the irritating piece of sand is hidden away, clothed, and covered with beauty. Now, that grain of sand, that was us. That was us. We were an irritating piece of sand when Jesus died for us. Yet the Lord clothed us in his righteousness. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took our sin and he gave us his righteousness. That makes us the righteousness of God in Christ. That makes us beautiful in God's eyes. You are the pearl of great price. You've been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. His righteousness is a thing of matchless beauty, unspeakable value in the eyes of God. You know, there was a time in history when pearls were more valuable than diamonds, much more rare. They didn't have cultured pearls back then. And one in every 10,000 oysters might have a pearl. They're not common. And good pearls are even less common. So when the enemy whispers in your ear, telling you that you're not worth anything, just remember that Jesus saw you as you were, and he died for you. Now, I know when I say things up here, some of you think, oh, he's just spouting theological jargon. And that's not what this is, folks. You need to apply this to yourself. Jesus saw you when you were yet a sinner and died for you. He valued you. Perhaps you can't imagine how you could be of any value to God. You see yourself as always messing up, as always missing the mark, as never measuring up. You see yourself as more of an irritant than a treasure. But who is the one who sold all in order to purchase the pearl? Jesus. And who is the pearl? You are. You are the pearl of great price. When you asked the Lord to come into your life, do you know what he did? He clothed you with a robe of righteousness. He made you beautiful in God's eyes. You may still think of yourself as a nobody or an irritant to God, but he sees you as a trophy and a pearl of great price. You are a gem to him. All of the universe looks at you and says, glory be to the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who took that little speck of sand and made it into a pearl of great price. Look at Romans 5:8. It says, "But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." When did Christ die for us? Did he die for us when we were in the church? Does it say, "He showed his love towards us, that when you finally joined the church, Christ died for you"? Is that what it says? No. No, it's not what it says at all. How about when you started reading your Bible? God commended his love towards you, that when you finally started reading the Bible, Christ died for you. Is that what it says? No. Oh, I know what it says. God commended his love towards you, that when you finally started witnessing for him, Christ died for you. Nope, it's not what it says either. Not when you were going to church, not when you were reading your Bible, not when you were witnessing, not when you finally learned how to pray. He looked at us when we were yet sinners. Catch that. When we were yet irritants, when we were yet a tiny grain of sand inside the oyster. And he gave his all for us. We were nothing more than an irritation, but he died for us. He basically said, "I love you, and I'll give you my all to redeem you." Did we deserve it? No, not at all. But he loved us. He loved us anyway. John 3:16 says basically the same thing. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He loved us. Why did he die? Because he loved us. Were we worthy of his love? No. Did he love us because we were such great saints? No. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus purchased the church as well as Israel at the cross. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands are to love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." That's the part I want you to see. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You are the pearl of great price. Now, that's not how the world sees us. That's not how many people around see us. The pearl in this parable was ignored and devalued. There were many other salesmen or purchasers, I guess, that didn't value this pearl. Because it says that the man had gone out purchasing pearls. I guess others were out there purchasing pearls too. But he found this pearl and he sold everything he had for this one pearl. Others had ignored it. Others had devalued it. And that's how the church is treated today. The church is largely ignored, largely devalued. You know, some of you older Christians can remember back when it was a difficult thing, a very difficult thing, to get free from a church. If you didn't want to go to church anymore, that was tough. People were going to ask you where you were. People were going to tell you they missed you. And they might even start asking even more personal questions because they wanted you to go to church. Going to church and being a Christian was like being part of a family. The church was hard to ignore and even harder to leave. People would come after you, tell you they missed you at church. That's not anymore. The church is largely ignored. The church is largely devalued. People don't care what the church believes. As I mentioned earlier, Jerry Nadler, the U.S. representative for New York's 10th congressional district, these are his exact words, I quote. He said this on the floor of the House this past week. God's will is no concern of this Congress. Did you catch that? God's will is no concern of this Congress. The church is devalued and ignored in our world today. But I want you to know the church is valuable to God. You are valuable to God. You are a pearl of great price. As I mentioned earlier, the pearl was the product of sand. The product of sand. And sand is an irritant. Sand is unwanted garbage inside of the shell of an oyster. They don't want it in there, but they can't get it out. And since they can't get it out, they put their saliva on it. And the saliva eventually hardens on it, and it makes a smooth covering over this irritant piece of sand. So he starts with a tiny grain of sand that is an irritant, and that sand is causing trauma, it's causing suffering, it's causing pain to the oyster, and he keeps covering it with his saliva to make it smoother and smoother. Eventually, over time, the grain of sand becomes a pearl. And the longer it's in there, the bigger it gets. It can take 3 to 7 years for a grain of sand to form into a pearl. And once it is formed, that's when it becomes a very valuable jewel. I've always thought of Christians being at least two different types. There's one that is the frying pan Christian and the other that is the crock pot Christian. And the frying pan Christian, he's like quick, you know? When you fry stuff, you put it in the deep fry and it's done in minutes. But when it comes to the crock pot, it's going to be in there at least an hour and maybe several hours. And most Christians are crock pot Christians. It takes them a long time to develop into what God wants them to be. Very few of us are frying pan Christians where we come out almost immediately with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace like we're supposed to have. Very few of us learn immediately that we're supposed to pray and that we're supposed to read our Bible and have devotional time every day with God. Very few of us are frying pan Christians. It takes us a while to get to be what God wants us to be. It takes us a while for the rough edges to get knocked off of us to where if we were often quick to anger and perhaps a brawler in the past, that God teaches us how to be patient and how to love and how to forgive. Some people seem to get that right away, and others, after many years, are still struggling with it. It's just difficult because most of us are crockpot Christians that take a long time to cook. Well, an oyster is like that. The pearl inside that oyster takes a long time to form. But once it's formed, it's beautiful. So, it is a very valuable jewel. You know what the greatest characteristic of a pearl is? Its ability to reflect light. If a pearl doesn't have luster, if it doesn't have the ability to reflect light, then they don't see it as a very valuable pearl. And what does that mean to us? How do we reflect light? Who is the light? Jesus. And how do we reflect him? By sharing him with others. Sharing our testimony with others. Leading others to know him. And that might be the most valuable part, the most valuable characteristic of being a Christian. There's some other similarities between a pearl and a church. If you take a pearl and you cut it in half, if you divide it, you ruin it. Do you know what happens to a church when it gets divided? It's not nearly as good. You can make a fake pearl. You can take real oysters and you can put sand in them and you can make a cultured pearl. But cultured pearls are not as valuable as real pearls. And you can make a man-made church. You can make a church without God. You can make a church that has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. You can do that. But a man-made church is not nearly as valuable as a church that is tied into God. And you know what, folks? I don't care if we only have a handful of people here as long as we are a church who values God. I don't care if we're not a large group as long as we are a sincere group who worships in spirit and in truth. I don't care what kind of attendance we might have. As long as we're not a cultured pearl, but we are a God-made pearl, a pearl of great price to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are a lot of things that we could grasp from this text today. But the thing that I most want you to grasp from this passage is that God loves you and God values you. And you are a pearl of great price to him. And it doesn't matter what other people may think of you. God thinks highly of you. So highly that while you were yet a sinner, he sent his son to die for you. Christ died for you. Hallelujah. How many of you here this morning have made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Would you lift your hand? Let me see. Okay. For the benefit of those who are watching at home, I want to tell you that Christ died for you. And there are just a few things you need to know. First of all, the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all just nothing but a simple grain of sand. We've sinned. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. A wage is something you earn. When you go to work, you get a wage. And the wage of our sin is death. That same verse, though, says, the gift of God is eternal life. A wage is earned, a gift is freely given. What we've earned is spiritual death and separation from God, but what is freely given to us is God's grace and God's mercy. God cares about you, and he died for you while you were yet a sinner. Why? Because he loves you. God showed his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. And so I want to encourage you this morning to accept him as your Lord and Savior. And there's just some very simple things that you have to do in order to accept him. First of all, you have to realize that you are a sinner. You cannot save yourself. And second of all, you have to realize that Jesus died for you. And you have to accept his salvation that he offers. So I want to lead you in a prayer. Just bow your head and please pray with me. I want you to say, Heavenly Father, I know I am a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me and shed his blood to put away my sin. I now receive him as my Lord and Savior. And with your help, I'm going to live for you and tell others about you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, I want to encourage you to send us a note, send us a message, give us a call, and let us know that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And God bless you, and you are all dismissed. Thank you for being here today.